2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, this year Tim and his wife are going to stay with us during the marriage conference, and I told my wife to make sure we get an exterminator to get rid of the bed bugs, and where, you know, where they're going to be staying, you know. Don't be worried, we'll have it ready by the time you come. It'll be
more than married.
Yeah. So, we know you want fellowship, but not that type, right? Yeah. Amen. Okay. So, if any of you were not here last month when I talked about the three kinds of restoration, you might want to go into your website and pull down and listen to that very, very crucial, very important teaching from Scripture that shows us the principles of restoration. Very important that you see that and study it. That's something that the local bodies need to be practicing. So take your time, go in there and look at it. Okay, very good. Let's read the text. 2 Timothy 4. We're going to start with verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposes our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all of the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's good enough for now. The Lord blesses his word. Father, again, we ask for the Holy Spirit's help as we consider your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I grew up in the inner city of Houston in a poor neighborhood, and it was gang infested even back then. And I witnessed, unfortunately, and it wasn't a good experience. It's something that gets into your brain and you can't get rid of it. Some of the fights and things that I saw were really disturbing. Really disturbing. You wouldn't want your children to see some of those things. But the Lord kept me safe through all of that. Fights are sometimes ugly, but fights are good also. And we're going to consider a good fight today. Now, I don't know how many of you like boxing. Anybody here like boxing? No? Then you need to pray the Holy Spirit come upon you so that you can start liking boxing. Something is not right. Right? Well, growing up, in our local assembly, there was quite a few men that loved boxing. So I still remember they would come to our house and the boxing match was on. All the men would crowd around. And when the box was going on, they're all going like this, kicking it, you know, during the box. So the famous box at this time was Roberto Duran versus Sugar Ray Leonard. No? Anybody? You have to go on YouTube and check it out. It's worth it. They literally beat each other for 15 rounds. During this fight, the commentators were like, how much can they take? And nobody quits. Neither one wants to quit. No one wants to lose. And so literally they were just the whole time just back and forth, you know, just, and they're like, nobody falls down. They were amazed because these were like power punchers. And neither one wanted to quit. And even though they were getting hit over and over again, neither quit. Well, at the end, Roberto Duran won, right? And so it was just amazing to see that fight. Keep that in mind. So Paul says, I fought the good fight. So there is a fight that's good. That's what we're going to talk about today. Then he says, I finished the course. So he goes from a boxing match to a running, right, where you finish a course. And then he says, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. All right? So let's talk about the fight of faith today. Sound good? All right. Now, the followers of Jesus are in a fight of faith, and many have thrown in the towel and quit. You know what that expression means, thrown in the towel? Again, that's a boxing expression. When they're boxing, the trainer, when he feels his guy is getting beat and he's not going to win, he'll get a towel and he'll throw it. Then the ref will say, okay, it's over, right? And so the match ends. And so that's what we mean by that expression, to throw in the towel. That means you quit. And too many Christians have quit. So we're in a fight, and it's a good fight, and yet it's agonizing. It's a struggle. You have to keep training and keep working and keep competing. And yet, even though it's so much work, it's worth it. It's worth it. It comes with several crowns. You get battered and bruised, and yet you get to hear the words from the Lord Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. Paul, in this text, he said he never quit. He was battle scarred. If you were to see him, you're like, man, what happened to him? Right? Literally, his body was bruised and battered. He had scars all over his body, cuts from rocks that they threw at him, deep wedges on his back from the whippings. This guy, his body was torn up. And that's how he went to glory. And he said in Galatians 6:17, for I bear on my body the scars that show that I belong to Jesus. Wow, pretty amazing. All right? So we are fighting a good fight of faith. All right? But what are we fighting? That's my question too. What are we fighting? We're going to look at six different kind of fights. Okay? Six fights that we're in. Number one, we're in a battle against Satan. And every battle that we're in, it's against your faith. It's against your belief in God. And I want everybody to turn quickly to Luke 22 and verse 31. Turn there quickly. Notice the text. It's right before Jesus, as he's fighting the battle for our sin, right before he goes to the cross. Notice what he says to not only Simon, but to the apostles. 31. Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded, notice that, permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. All right, so we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a fight of faith. Satan comes up and he demands that Jesus would give him permission to shift Peter around. Okay, and he says, now what I'm going to do is I'm not going to prevent it, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to be praying for you. That's what Jesus said. While this happens, but notice what he says, that your faith may not what? May not what? Fail. Because the faith of many, when they're in a fierce battle with the devil, has failed. Has failed. And when, once you have turned again, in other words, when you repent because you're arrogant, Peter, and you think you can do more than you can, but Satan's going to whoop you around, you're going to realize that you can't handle it. When you repent of that attitude, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. All right, so the first fight that we're in that you have to realize, and it's not a choice. If you're saved, if you're born again, you're going to fight the good fight. And the number one fight that we're in is against the devil. And so you can read in Ephesians, for example, stand firm against the devil. We read in Peter, the devil's looking around to destroy someone like a lion. And so over and over, be firm in your faith against the devil and his attack. Listen, he went to Jesus and he took him up on the pinnacle and he says, all these kingdoms of yours are yours. All you have to do is bow to me. Can you imagine? If he had the audacity to go to Jesus and tell him, bow to me and worship me, what do you think he's going to do to you? Do you realize how fierce the spiritual battle is for your faith? And what is Satan trying to accomplish as he's attacking your faith? He wants you to quit on God. That's his goal. He wants you to quit. And so he gets a hold of Peter and he shakes him around. Well, there's your Jesus. Look at him. They're spitting on him and they're slapping him around. Come on. Why are you following him? Turn away. And he's going to do the same to you and to me. Is it worth it? You have to give up so much. You have to die to the flesh. You have to crucify yourself. And he's shaking you. Go back. And he's going to be relentless. And we're in a spiritual battle. Firm in the faith. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee. That's what the Bible says. But listen. Don't miss this. Often your discouragement is coming from the battle you're in against the devil. It's a spiritual battle. And all his demons. And you can't pretend that it's not happening, because it's happening and it's true. We are in a spiritual battle against the devil. Well, going back to Durant and Leonard in this famous fight, they had a rematch, of course, right? And this time they're fighting, they're going at it, and guess what happened? In the eighth round, out of nowhere, Durant, the champ, said, that's it, no mas. He said, he was from Nicaragua, I think. He said in Spanish, no mas. That means I quit, no more. And he just quit. Even the other guy was like, oh, he started bouncing around. Wow, he quit. And so he became a champ, Leonard did. Just out of the blue, he quit. And unfortunately, so many Christians in round one against the devil, they're already beat. And they already quit. They listen to his voice, his discouragement. He's telling you to go back. Well, we're also in a fight against discouragement. Did you notice the text? Notice, for example, verse 11. Let's go back to our text in 2 Timothy. The battle of discouragement. So we got the battle of the devil against the devil, against Satan, that wants us to quit. Then we have the battle of discouragement. He says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. You remember who Mark is, right? Now, Mark went in the first missionary journey with Paul. And as they're in the journey, as they're doing the mission work, they're preaching the word, all of a sudden Mark says, oh, I quit. This is too hard. Too much. Too much persecution, too many attacks. Too difficult. I'm going back to U.S. where everything's easy and convenient. Amen? All right? So he quit, and he just goes back. When they were going to start the second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to bring him along. And Paul said, no, I'm not bringing him. He's a quitter. He got discouraged. He's not tough in faith. And they had a disagreement. Now, the good thing is that they made up, because Paul now says, hey, when you come, bring Timothy, because he's useful for service. What does that tell you? That tells me that Mark, I'm sorry, not Timothy, but Mark. Mark recovered from his discouragement, got strong in the faith. He and Paul made up, and he became a useful servant of God. In other words, he was knocked down, but he got back up, and he got back into the fight. All right? Many times a boxer gets knocked down, gets hit and falls down, but he gets back up. And he keeps fighting. And that's what happened with Mark. He was discouraged, but the Lord worked through other servants to bring him back up, and he got back into the fight. Maybe you've been knocked down. Get back in. Get up in the power of the Holy Spirit and get back into the fight. Fight discouragement. Fight the devil. Fight discouragement. Number three, we're in a fight for the doctrines of the faith. And now, more than ever, we're in that battle. If you're engaged in any kind of work for God, you know that we're in a spiritual battle for the faith. Now go with me quickly to Jude 3. Notice Jude 3. That's second to the last, by the way. Revelation, right before Revelation is Jude. This is the half-brother of Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 3. Jude 1:3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write appealing that you, and here's a contend means to fight, that you contend, that you fight earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. So what is Jude saying? You need to earnestly fight, defend the faith. What does he mean by that? For example, the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of the fact that the Bible is inerrant and inspired by God. Hopefully you're still fighting that fight and you're still believing that truth. That there's a Holy Trinity, that the Bible is inspired by God. It's the very words of God that we're reading. That there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son came and became man and went and died on the cross. See, that's what he's talking about. The fundamentals of faith, the faith that was laid out for us by the apostles and the Holy Word, fight for it. When somebody says that you have to earn salvation, fight for it. Say, no, that's not true. You defend the faith. When somebody says, there's no hell, that's not true. God loves everybody. Everybody's going to go to heaven. That's a lie. And so you defend the faith. There is no such thing as heaven. Yes, there is. It's in the Bible. You defend the faith. You're fighting for the faith. Salvation is through Christ and Him alone by faith. You defend that and you fight for that. And that's what he's saying. That's what Jude is saying. Here's what I'm writing, that you earnestly contend, that you fight for the faith once and for all given to the Christians. And it's right here in the Word of God. Fight for it. All right. So then notice how serious Paul took it in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. All right. Are you there quickly? Everybody moving their Bibles? Or if you use your phone, the silencer, but I'd like to hear the Bibles move because at least I know you're with me, right? Those of you who have your phones, don't be texting. You'll be moving the Bible, but don't text. Text afterwards. This command I entrust you, 1 Timothy 1:18. This command I entrust you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight. So there he goes again. We're fighting, and it's a good fight because it's for the faith, right? The good fight of faith. Keeping faith and a good conscience. Now, faith there means the doctrine, right? Which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. In other words, some abandoned the true faith, the doctrine, right? Once and for all laid out for us. They abandoned it. They suffered shipwreck in accordance to their faith, right? Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered over to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. So what is the Bible saying? There was these two guys in Ephesus that were teaching wrong doctrine. Paul says, those two guys, we're going to take them out of fellowship because they're teaching things contrary to the faith. I removed them. I said, Satan, do your number with these guys. And they let Satan have them. But they were removed from fellowship because of false teaching. And so again, fight the fight of faith, Timothy. Watch out for those two guys. Get them out. They're teaching wrong. And so we're in a fight for the faith. All right, next. We're in a fight against evil men. Go back to our text, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we're in a fight against evil men. Did you notice what he said? Around verse 14, 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. So this guy Alexander was opposing the preaching of the word, the gospel, and they were saying, watch out for him. Watch out for him. That guy did me a lot of harm. And so every time you're a man of faith, a woman of faith, you're fighting for the faith, you're in that fight, you're always going to get the enemy of the gospel, those evil men and women that are going to attack you and attack the local body. Do you think that Satan hasn't sent men into the churches to destroy them? Of course he has. And there's men like Alexander, evil men full of the devil, that are there just to cause trouble to the body of Christ. And Paul says to Timothy, look out for him. That guy's evil. So we need to be praying for our missionaries that are in the mission field, because evil men try to destroy the work of God. So we're in a fight against evil men, but we're in another fight. Now this one is the one that's closest to me, that has given me the most trouble. Not so much Satan. God has given me victory. Not the faith. I'm firm in it. Not discouragement. Thank the Lord right now. I'm encouraging the Lord. But it's a battle against the flesh. Oh man, that laziness. I don't want to read the word. I'd rather turn on the TV. It's that battle against the flesh that wants to sin, that wants to be selfish, that wants to do evil. And you have to fight the flesh. You have to die to the flesh. Crucify the flesh and its deeds. Galatians chapter 5. And so, die to yourself. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. And so the great battle of faith that we're in is against yourself. In fact, in the three great enemies of the Christian, the devil, the world, and the flesh is the worst. Because if you resist the devil, he'll flee. And you can turn away from the world, but the flesh always wants to sin. Wakes up every day wanting to sin. Amen? Right? Isn't that true? Or are you not human? Right? Sure you are. And so every day, I said, man, Lord, I've had great victory, but I'm about to wake up. As soon as I do, this flesh wants to do what? Sin. It wants to do evil. It thinks wrong. It's lazy. So we have to fight the good fight against the flesh. So then we're in another fight. We're in another fight. Check it out. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For Demas, having loved his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. So what happened to Demas? He was a missionary. He was part of the team. He was serving the Lord. You can look at him in other parts of the Bible, and he was a faithful servant. And all of a sudden, he quit. Why did he quit? The Bible tells you why. Why? Because the world was so attractive to him. Hey, and here comes the devil. Hey, look at the world. It's offering you parties and freedom. You're losing out. And somehow the world attracted him. And he goes, you know what? I'm done with this. Sacrificing and giving up and saying no and crucifying the flesh. I'm going to just go and indulge. I love the world is attracting me. And he loved the world and he left. He quit the fight. And so we're in a fight against the world. And Demas, unfortunately, loved the world. Galatians 6:14, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in the world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. Galatians 6:14. William Hendrickson puts it this way. It's a fight against Satan and his demons. Against Judaism. Against contention, jealousy, fornication, lawsuits against sin and death operating in our hearts. It's a tremendous fight that the Christian is in. And our job is to keep fighting that good fight. You ever had a good fight with someone? You didn't grow up like me in the streets. I had got a couple of good ones, you know. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Don't give up. Fight the good fight until the day you die. Then next he says, I finished the course. And I need to finish course because I'm out of time. So he finished the course like a marathon. That's the idea. It's a long, you keep fighting until you die. And then finally, you know what? I'm going to just cut it short because y'all took too long before y'all give me. All right, verse 16 and 17 is a good way to end. I had about 12 or 13 more minutes, but I'm going to, y'all hurt my feeling. No, I'm just joking. Verse 16. At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever. Part of the fight of faith is that people are going to let you down. Anybody let you down yet? Anybody, you know, lie or abandon you? Talked ugly about you? Disappointed you? Welcome to life. And in life, in our faith fight, people are going to let you down. People are going to do ugly things to you. But Jesus never will. He says, everybody left me, abandoned me, but there's the Lord right by my side. And what a blessing in our walk of faith to know that Jesus never fails. Amen? Father, bless your word to our heart. Pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.